Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, no, wait, I gotta do the intro. I've gotta welcome
you.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the podcast where unsolved mysteries and cocktails collide. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Whee!
Hello.
In for another lockdown episode.
Yes, we've all come back to the bar for another lockdown special.
And with us today in the bar as well, who is using her once a week shopping trip.
Yeah.
Is the lovely Susie Bennett. Hello.
Hi.
Yay. I'm so excited.
Thanks for sacrificing your shopping trip to be with us.
Well, what's that you're drinking out of?
Can I just say, it's actually the soaps tonight, Emmerdale and Corrie, so I'm sacrificing that to be with you.
Oh my goodness.
Because obviously, there used to be six and now there's only three, so we're rationed, so I'll save it up. But yeah, my cocktail, I'm drinking out of a plastic little beaker that I bought for my niece, and it's got like a retro roller skate on it. And I bought it for her for when she comes around and visits, and I won't be able to see her for a very long time, so I'm using it. And I filled it about a third full of gin, and it's nice. Pomegranate and rose gin, which is very nice. The rest is lemonade, and I popped a bit of Asda, no added sugar, cherries and berry squash, just to add a bit of a pink hue, because I thought this was a sophisticated show. So I thought it needed a bit of colour. There's no fruit in it, because let's be honest, I can't be doing with fruit at the moment.
What are we calling it? What's your name for it, Susie?
Something to do with roller skate, roller.
A Roland Bennett?
A Roland Bennett, that sounds good. Brings back memories as well.
Or maybe,
I like it.
Were you a big roller skater
back in the
day? No,
just different kind of rolling.
Well.
The devil's on the outside. Oh, dear. How many weeks into lockdown are we?
It's four.
We've been counting.
Oh, never
we've
mind.
We've been counting each week.
It's flying by.
I've become an incel.
Masood made a gimlet, which is apparently originally gin and cordial. So what you've done there is you've just made a gimlet.
You've made an actual thing.
Yeah.
It's 37.5%. I have to explain, I'm living with my mum, Jean. And Jean bought it thinking it was one of those liqueurs. And then we poured it liberally in and realised it was an actual proper one. So
I just love that. That first sip would have been like, Christ.
But I still kept this measure the same because, let's be honest, we could all die tomorrow. So,
too true.
Get through it.
Yeah.
Get your novelty gins down you.
Yeah. I might break out my novelty gin, to be honest.
Which one have you got?
I got some, I think it was pink berry gin or something. I got it for Christmas.
Similar.
And it was one of those ones. I think we've talked about it before where I was like, this is the thing I hate the most. And then now I'm like, you know what, it doesn't matter.
I'm
nothing
drinking
matters
for
anymore.
A straw, which I haven't done since I was a teenager. So it might get a bit messy.
It's pretty great, isn't it, straw drinking?
Have you ever gone
and bought yourself a Capri Sun?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen,
if you leave them in the warm, little worms form at the bottom of a Capri Sun.
What? No, they don't.
I'm interested in how you pronounce actually, because I always say Capri Sun, and all my friends used to laugh at me saying Capri Sun. And in my defense, I said, well, you don't say the island of Capri, do you? You say the island of Capri, so that's what I've decided. But if the straw goes missing, you're absolutely fucked. If there's no straw, there's no way of getting in that.
Oh, forget it.
If you're out and about and you get your Capri Sun out of the bottom of your bag and there's no straw on it, there's no way in there. There's no way in.
There's never a more panicked face than the person looking for that straw in the. They're just like, I've seen that face. I've been that person.
I think it's the cocaine addicts have been in Asda's and gone through all the Capri Suns and nicked them all. And that's what's happened. I've uncovered
for their little narrow passages.
Just love the idea of like being sat on a train and be like, excuse me, mate, you happen to have a straw for a cat or something?
Have you got a sharp-ended straw, mate? It don't have to be official.
So what else? What are we drinking around the table? So you've
what got, have you got, Masood? Yours is clear.
This is a bijou, but this is the Ritz version. So we've
had a bijou on the show before,
yeah,
right?
But it was made with green chartreuse. This is made with gin and orange liqueur, half orange liqueur, half dry vermouth, and a little bit of orange bitters. Yum, yum, yum.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forget about the bijou. I'm writing it down on my bit of
paper. Is that a bit alcohol spritzy?
It's kind of more martini-like with a bit of kind of... It's kind of rounded off with the... with the orange liqueur and the orange bitters.
Wait till you see what I'm drinking.
Yeah, what are you drinking, Suze? What do you got?
Well, I got a blue wicket, mate. I was having
KGB. You got a KGB lemon, mate.
I got a KGB lemon. I was having a gimlet, which I made, okay, but the labour report is out. And in honour of Diane Abbott, I'm having a tinned mojito.
Yes.
Mojito from a tin.
That's which is what we've been reduced to at this bar. We're just having tinnies, mate. Just crack.
Can't wait till I can get on a train and go, I am Diane Abbott, I'm having tinned liqueur.
To be fair, I have succumbed every now and again to a canned cocktail once on a train back from a gig. Just been like, you know what? I deserve this. I died horribly on my ass. It's time to drink a fucking whatever the fuck this is.
Was that Norfolk, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And what do you have, Chris? What have you got there?
So I have a martini. And I thought I'd make a dirty martini, but instead of olive brine, I've used pickle juice and then whacked a couple of pickles in there.
Does it give it a zing?
Nice. Yeah, yeah, it does. It does actually. It's very it is very pickly, but also it all works. It's all dead nice.
Yeah.
What are you calling it?
Yeah, what are you calling it?
I suppose it's a dirty martini, but with a variation. So I'll call it a shabby martini.
Shabby chic.
Yeah, because that's the thing with the olive juice, the brine and stuff. It cuts right through that really nice, hard, solid thing with the liquor that you've built. That's good, man. That sounds tasty.
It is tasty.
Yeah.
You should try it.
Make one later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I will. So, Chris, what do you have for us today?
Well, the reason I called it a shabby martini is to do with the mystery. And also, because I knew Susie was coming on, I've chosen the murder of Barbara Colby.
Oh.
Ooh.
Do you know about Barbara Colby?
No. Was she in Dynasty? Oh.
No, she wasn't. She was in your favourite show.
She was in Columbo.
She was in Columbo. She was in... okay, so everyone calls it the first episode, but it wasn't because there was the two...
Prescription Murder.
No, well, yeah, everyone calls it...
Oh, is that what it was called before it was called Columbo?
No. They did two pilots before the series proper. One of them was called Prescription Murder, and the other one was called Ransom for a Dead Man. But they also... The first episode of the series properly was called Murder by the Book. And Barbara Colby was in that. And if you were trying to picture her, Susie, Barbara Colby was the widow, Lily Lasanka, who tried to blackmail Jack Cassidy.
Okay, so she was blackmailing Jack Cassidy.
In the episode, yeah. But she was tragically murdered. She was only 36 when she got murdered. Weirdly, that means she was 32 when she was in that episode. And I think she looks a lot older than 32.
They do, though, don't they?
Yeah.
It's never a makeup situation. They do look sort of...
It's that time, in 71. I mean, you know, everybody looked old.
She'd been eating cigarettes and gargling gin for 10 years at that point.
Yeah, exactly. That was primary school stuff.
I remember the horrific revelation that... Anne Bancroft was, her character was only like 36 when she played Miss Robinson, Mrs. Robinson.
She was 34.
Oh, that's it, even worse, 34. And I remember realising that and thinking, oh my God, I'm the same age as Mrs. Robinson when I was that age. and even more horrifically, when I turned 36, I realised I was the same age of Alex Forrest, who was, of course, feminist icon Glenn Close's character in Fatal Attraction. And when I turned 30, I was like, oh my God, I'm the same age as Fatal Attraction Glenn Close.
What's your thing when you go on stage and go, hey guys, I'm the same age as Series 4 Frasier?
Well, I thought 43 is a bit of a rubbish... 43, there's nothing really great about that, is it? It's just a rubbish odd number. And then I realised I was the same age as Frasier in Season 4, where the hair is going ever so far back, you know.
It's like it's time to cut it, Frasier.
I still would, Kelsey.
So does that mean Frasier was in his 30s in Cheers?
Yeah, I think he was.
I think in the first episode that he's in of Cheers, he's like 33.
So I'm older than Series 1 Cheers Frasier.
Yeah. John Mahoney was really young.
He's in Series 3.
Did he join in Series 3?
Yeah, John Mahoney appeared. His dad was only sort of like 10 years old or something silly.
He wasn't even 16.
He just had that silver Steve Martin hair.
Because Steve Martin turned grey in his 30s.
He's so handsome, isn't he, Steve Martin?
I fancy him most in Parenthood. He's starting to go a bit, and it's complicated though. He's started to go a bit orange.
And it's complicated, and still would. Because look what he's done to a lovely kitchen.
I think my favourite line was Alec Baldwin had it off with, what's her name? Meryl, obviously. And he said, oh, you've stopped waxing. And then he said, oh, you've gone native. I was into it, like that. And I love that line, the way he says it. And particularly now, because during lockdown, I've decided to not shave my armpits until they reopen Cineworld. So I'm kind of...
It's just a little thing.
I need a cause to stand up for, and I've decided that's it. I'm not going to shave until Cineworld reopens, and that's my thing. And it's looking all right down there. I might have to start conditioning it, to be honest. I keep comparing myself to Madonna's daughter, because she's rocking the old...
Is it a specific Cineworld, or is it every Cineworld?
Well, the Plymouth one, to start with.
The Plymouth one, yeah. I was going to say, you know.
You know, small girls.
I love the fact that they might open the Lido before they reopen Cineworld, and you have to go to the Lido.
I'm so glad about the Lido.
Barbara Colby, who was a co-star on the show, she appeared in the first, there were two pilots, you said?
And she was in neither of those. She was in the first episode of the first series, but the third episode of Columbo Overall, if that makes sense.
But she's in two episodes of the show?
No, she's just in this one. She gets, her character gets offed by Jack Cassidy's character because she's blackmailing him. And then... 4 years later, she was murdered in real life.
Do you remember how he killed her in the show? Because it might remind me.
I thought he hit her over the back of the head because she wanted to date him, right? Yeah. So in Columbo, she was a fan of Jack Cassidy's character. He committed the murder, and then she realised that he had done this. So she tried blackmailing him poorly into going on a date with her. So he went round her house, pretended to woo her, and then killed her as well. Because he'd rather do that than go on a date with her.
The last thing I want to do is date this young woman.
Do you remember the gotcha moment? The Columbo gotcha moment?
What was that?
The moment where Columbo nabs him. There's always something that Columbo's picked up on, the gotcha moment.
Yeah, it was Jack Cassidy was writing, his character was writing mystery novels with his mate.
And then it was in the book.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? He put it in the book? How stupid, how arrogant do you have to be?
It's coming back to me now.
That's some BTK shit right there.
It is, isn't it?
Nobody's going to know that I did this. Come on.
You can't catch me.
While we're on this, Susie, what is your favourite episode of Columbo overall?
Well, my favourite is Try and Catch Me with Ruth Gordon, but when they've done polls of the Columbo fans, everyone always says Any Old Port in a Storm, which is this Donald Pleasance.
It's good.
That's a good one, but I like Try and Catch Me because not only is Ruth Gordon amazing, you know, from Rosemary's Baby, she's just eccentric and brilliant, and I like the moral behind it because she kills her nephew by putting him in. She makes him go in the safe. And she shuts it on him, so he basically suffocates. But because she suspects that he murdered her, he's the nephew-in-law, he murdered her niece, But it's never been proved. She kind of went missing on a boat or something. It's never been proved, but she knew, and she didn't want to leave anything to him, and she wanted to get her revenge. So she carefully constructed that he would come back and no one would know he was in the house, etc. But he leaves clues inside the safe for Columbo to find. So he's got nothing on him to write with, but he uses a match to light, and he scratches arrows on the boxes that are leading up to the light bulb. Yeah. And he scratches an arrow, and then when Columbo looked in the light bulb, he'd had two pieces of paper, and it was he'd ripped out because the book was The Night I Was Murdered by Abigail Mitchell, who's the name of the novelist. So he has crossed out in the matchstick ash a couple of words, so it says I was murdered by Abigail Mitchell, and he's hidden it in the light bulb. So it's basically from the grave.
Shouldn't have burned that match. That'll be sucking up oxygen, you know.
Well, exactly. But he was thinking, right, I'm definitely going to die. So,
wow.
Once a week, every week since I saw that episode of Game of Thrones, I think about those people who were locked in season two. There were a bunch of people that were locked in a safe. And every now and again, I'll be like, shit, those people were locked in that safe. Holy shit. Like, anyone that gets trapped in a safe. And now that memory will be replaced by this Columbo episode, because now that's all I can think of is this guy just fucking going like scratching stuff in the wall.
Scratching out words in books.
Barbara Colby, I've just seen a picture of Barbara Colby.
Back to Babs.
And she reminds me a lot of Olivia Colman.
Oh, okay.
I could see that. Because
so talk us through what's... Oh, sorry, no, you were going
to
say something.
No, I was going to talk you through it, Masood, which I assume you were then going to ask me to do, so...
Absolutely.
God, I won't miss Skype when we can do this properly.
I know.
It happened on July 1975. Mm. She was teaching an acting class, and then after the acting class, her and her actor friend in the car park saying goodbye. And then...
Oh, no.
Sorry. I've just Googled her picture and I remember her really well.
Ah!
I was going to say, she obviously acted in a lot of other things, but in my knowledge, she's only been in one episode of Columbo and she's teaching an acting class. So I'm like, come on now. It's like someone who's done three stand-up gigs and they're like, you know what? I think I've got this. I think I've got this stand-up thing nailed.
Enough about you, Masood.
Oh my.
I was just saying, she resembles Rita Rudner a little bit. Because she's got the teeth.
She was in the Mary Tyler Moore Show in one episode as a prostitute, and they liked her so much that they moved that character over into a spin-off series, apparently. Yeah, and she was going to be a featured role in it, and then she only managed to shoot three episodes, and then some guys just jumped her and her actor friend and shot them both.
This is in the car park. Jesus.
Yeah, she died at the scene, and while he did die, he was alive for long enough to describe the attackers. He didn't recognise them. Neither of them were robbed either. So this was just senseless.
Some people just like, hey, let's attack. I hate actors. Let's attack these people.
Right. While she hadn't had that many starring roles, she was fairly well known because she'd married Ethel Merman's son.
She married Ethel Merman. That's no business, like show business. Oh, that's great.
And they would have remembered her from that episode of Columbo or that episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Well, it's different then, because that was, you know, you would be recognised from that, as opposed to now where it's like, I'm in an episode of Grey's Anatomy. People are like, who watches that now? I know it's still going, but who cares? Yeah. So how was she attacked? What happened? How did they these guys jumped her in the car park? What happened? Was there a scuffle? Did she get? What was the exact kind of?
So this was towards around about midnight. Two men.
It's a late class. It's a late ass night class. Okay.
Two men apparently just jumped out of a van, shot them both, then legged it.
Blimey.
They didn't get back in the van. They just ran away.
No, I think they got back in the van and drove
off. Okay, right.
That'd be stupid.
We should run. There's
Sounds a
van there.
Sounds a little
there.
Bit like what happened to Bruce Wayne. Well, yeah. They, do you know, they keep reminding us every Batman film. They have to remind us that every time.
Yeah,
she's leading in Joker, which is not a Batman film.
Yeah.
It's barely a film.
Oh, she's on her soapbox. Here we go. There you go. I need more gin.
Have you always liked Columbo, Susan?
I've always, well. Sometimes people say, is it a fetish? And I'm they try and cheapen it because it's not sexual. It's despite the knickers, that was a gift from some flatmates, well-meaning flatmates. I was off sick from work and it was like a rainy day, laying on the sofa, and I was looking at what to watch on TV, and Columbo was on, and it just gave me that lovely Sunday afternoon feeling, you know, when there's rain outside the window, you don't have to be anywhere, and you're just laying on the sofa. So then I started to record them and put them on the planner. And then I bought the DVD box set, and then the merch started. The t-shirts, the coasters, the mugs.
Yeah.
And I joined a few Facebook groups. And
it sounds like me with the Labour Party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, Alan Sugar tweeted about it the other day, and someone tagged me.
Yeah, I saw that.
Does anybody else watch Columbo? And my friend was like, paging Susie Bennett. And I'm like, oh, hi, Lord Sugar. And he didn't reply. Joker. Absolute joker. I sent him a picture of me in my Columbo t-shirt, well, one of three, and pointing at my Columbo picture, and he's just blanked me, frankly.
Has he?
Unbelievable.
It's his loss, isn't it? His loss.
He said, first of all, he said, anybody old enough to remember Columbo? It's like, don't repeat it every fucking day, mate.
It was on Saturday, mate.
Yeah.
Channel 5 USA, 7 episodes, back to back. Get with the programme, sugar.
He finished his tweet by going, oh, and one more thing, and then in brackets, Columbo fans will get it. It's like, no, every fucking person will get it, Alan Sugar.
I said it earlier, and I think I've seen about 1.5 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't got a catchphrase, but that's what everybody thinks his catchphrase is.
Yeah. Well, Peter Falk called his autobiography, There's One More Thing.
I loved that book. I read it.
Yeah.
I read it during The Fringe in 2009, I think. I bought it at the end of The Fringe, but I didn't have any money during The Fringe, and I read it in instalments in Waterstones.
That's so sweet.
To try and escape the...
Rags to Riches story. Put that in there.
Yeah. Look at him now.
I couldn't afford the book.
I sort of want to get back to our unfortunate friend.
Sorry, Barbara.
We need to solve the murder of Barbara Colby.
So, as far as we know, two people jump out of a van, pop, pop, jump back in the van and go.
Yeah.
And had Barbara's episode aired? So was she known?
4 years later, this happened. She was murdered 4 years after she was in Columbo. Yeah,
yeah.
So it wasn't a case of they really hated her for her character blackmailing Jack Cassidy. So it wasn't to do with that. Because there's very little about this. And in fact, I only came across it when a couple of months ago I had this thing where if this podcast keeps going, what if we run out of mysteries? And in my in a panic, I just compiled a list and list of loads. Mm. And then I found Barbara Colby had been murdered while I'd watched the Columbo episode. And what I do is sometimes I'm like, oh, they're good. And then I Google their name to see who they are. Because I can't retain everybody's names. So I'm like, what's her name again? So I googled it, Barbara Colby, and then I saw that she was murdered, and I was like, oh, can we talk about that? Mm. And there isn't that much to go on, so I thought, we probably can't. But if we're having Susie on, I can't not do a Columbo guest star
Absolutely
being murdered.
Well,
you know,
we'll get to the bottom of this. So, what year was it?
1975.
This one time I was going, me and my friends were having a drink, and we were looking at YouTube at old sort of 80s songs and music, and I remembered the London Boys, and I said, oh, I used to love the London Boys, and I played a few of there, and I was like, oh, what are they up to now? And do you know what happened, Suze? They were a Stock Aitken and Waterman duo. They used to dance and do backflips and stuff. But yeah, they both died in an accident. They were on holiday in Austria in the 90s, and I was like, I wish I'd never gone there. I wish I'd just kept the memory of the London Boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. And then I became obsessed. And then I bought their album. And then it was my favourite CD to clean to in the flat. But, yeah, it was horrific.
This seems to be a pattern, is that it starts slow with you. It's very, very gradual. And then eventually, I've got all their albums, and then I've got everything.
If I like something, I really like it. I'm the same in relationships. If I go out with you, I will get your face on a fridge magnet. Do you know what I mean?
That's very sweet. I think that's a very sweet... face on a fridge magnet. So.
What else do we need to know about?
Do we have anything, any promising leads?
Yeah. So the crime is basically what I said. That's all we know. They jumped, and bearing in mind her friend, who was also he also died as a result, but lived long enough to describe what happened.
They only knew each other as actor friends. There wasn't anything else going on.
There might have been. She was separated from Ethel Merman's son.
Son at the time.
Yeah. According to Ethel Merman, the divorce was amicable, and apparently Ethel Merman was particularly upset by this. She was quite cut up about Barbara's murder, but then if she said she wasn't, that'd be awful, wouldn't
it? Yes, true.
Well, I mean, imagine she was like, shit happens. There's now people like show, people like oh, ripple, like oh.
Because that's all there is to go on. I tried to find newspaper articles from about the time. It turns out apparently it was a crime spree happened that night, and they were a little bit, and there was two, and so these were so yeah, so there was Barbara Colby, and there was her friend James Kernan. He was 35 at the time. Barbara Colby was 36. As well as that, some other people were also attacked. There was a couple called the Witts, and
because they were so funny,
Mrs. Gloria Witt, and there was Roland Witt, and they were attacked.
Sorry, Roland Witt.
They just sound like made up names.
Roland Witt, they do.
They do. W I T T E. So it might be Witter, but
they're the Witts.
Yeah.
You piece of wit. Sorry, they're dead.
Gloria Witt was murdered. She was 57.
Right.
And Roland Witt was a high-flying businessman. They had a massive house, this couple. And he was pistol-whipped, but he didn't die. He was... And because of that, because he didn't die, they connected it as this crime spree, potentially the same people. It led to 6 arrests.
Oh, shit. Okay. So they got 6 people who they thought might have... just gone around Hollywood and...
The fact of the matter is that Barbara Colby's murder is a cold case to this day. They don't know who did it. Right. So that leads me to believe that those arrests, they weren't convictions.
Mm. No.
No.
But I can't really find anything else about them.
Huh. Did we set any TV detectives on this? You know, maybe Kojak?
Why wouldn't you get Columbo on it, Masood? Why was Kojak
because,
the first?
He's too close to the case. He's too close to the case. That's why. He's too close to...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sometimes people sort of tag me and things to do with Murder, She Wrote, and I get really offended. I feel like it's like trolling. And they genuinely, I'm like, why are you even talking to me? And I get genuinely angry.
I've seen people tag you in those, and I think...
Have I ever talked to you about Jessica Fletcher? No. Don't even try and put them in the same...
So, right, Chris, what else do we need to know about Barbara Colby?
Well, I've told you everything about Barbara Colby, but that if you're interested about the possibly are the connected crimes...
Yes, I think we'll get something from there.
So there was 3 people were killed. Barbara Colby was one. James Kernan, her friend.
6 crimes in total.
There were 6 arrests. Six arrests. People got arrested.
6 arrests.
There was actually Gloria Witt was she was murdered. Roland Witt he survived, and they arrested 6 young men, and they were booked on charges of suspicion of robbery. They were being questioned in connection with the slayings. So between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. on the same night, police arrested the 6 people at their homes. But there was a van used in one of the robberies that could have been the same van that they jumped out of to shoot Barbara Colby.
Right.
Yeah.
And how many? So there were only three crimes committed by these six supposed.
There was a
people.
Few. There was a spate of robberies that night. Two people, Jeff Anderson and Stephen Immel, they'd been robbed at their home, and two masked men tied them up, and they left with an estimated $5,000 in cash and valuables.
Okay. This is back in the '70s when people just keep. Cash in their houses? That's insane.
Well, they had some, Masood, so...
It's in a paper pot.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's like an old tea tin like, yeah. full of like bound up 20 pound notes or
it's
whatever.
It's got $1,200 and it's my running away money.
Okay, so they arrested these six guys, but none of them were convicted.
It doesn't sound like it. Or... If they were convicted of it, it wouldn't be a cold case, would it? Mm.
Yeah.
And because it's a cold case, you think, oh, well, they couldn't make the charges stick. Or maybe they made the charges stick for the robberies, but not the murder. And they couldn't get them for the murders, yeah.
What would Columbo do?
Are there any theories? Yeah, Columbo,
what would he'd
go,
do?
Look in that light bulb. Fucking hell, I can't believe it. The answer was there all along. And then he'd go, just one more thing. And then he'd take a shit on the floor. And everyone would go, fucking hell, Columbo, and then he'd waggle his cigar like Groucho and sidle on out of the room.
So he would know the second he met
he knows
them,
straight away, instinct. He's got the instinct.
He does, yeah.
If he met the six, it would be the one that he befriends and that he, you know, he has a little rapport with and then...
And asks for help on the case.
Yeah, he would know straight away and it would be the one that she thinks he can outfox him, but he can't, so...
When he gets the killer, has there ever been an episode, because they're always in the room at the end and he's like, I'll tell you who did it, does he ever spin round and round in a circle and then point at the killer?
He's only got one eye, Suze, so it would be
he's
a bit difficult.
One eye, yeah, would fuck with his balance,
dizziness of that.
There was some confusion, because obviously Peter Falk only had one eye, but...
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Columbo thing.
No, he only had one eye, and he had a glass eye. But there was some, like, debate for years and years and years whether or not that meant Columbo had only one eye, or whether he had a lazy eye. And then in one of the episodes they made in the 90s, he turns to one character, he goes, will you help me look? Three eyes are better
than
one.
Three eyes are better than one. Yeah, so he does make a comment about it, a little cheeky comment.
I love the idea.
I love that you do that, Chris.
We don't know, there's no one connected to any of these, like there's no connection between any of these other people who were attacked or murdered. There's nothing.
No, it's all random.
Them together.
It's all random, yeah. It all happened in Los Angeles.
That's the only connection.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, America's a big country. If it happened in different cities, I don't think you could say it was the same people.
No, it could have been a big cell and they all attacking people, you know. No,
yeah.
What year was Carol Baskin born? Because she's been blamed for a lot of things lately.
Carol Baskin?
Where was she?
I tell you, did these murders? It was their bitch, Carol Baskin.
I've seen only episode one and two, and I was like, okay, you guys are talking. It's pretty crazy. I'm like, whatever. And then it's like, oh, so, so he's got married to two. He had a three man wedding. Okay, sure.
They were both straight until they met him.
Yeah, that's just so funny.
Yeah, all right then, mate.
Just like, okay,
man's got skills.
Yeah, he's, and we've all seen Joe Exotic. Like, come on now. How he's got to be real good to turn you. Like, come on. Like, yeah.
Has anybody watched the Louis Theroux episode with Joe Exotic?
Not yet, but I will.
Yeah.
Years ago, Louis Theroux did a thing about owners in America of wild animals as pets. Mm-hmm. And he had a couple of days at Joe Exotic's zoo. And in the wake of, like, Tiger King, he's gone... My episode's on iPlayer if you want to go and watch it.
Yeah!
That's hilarious. So, do you think it's okay for the tigers to be in a pet like that?
That's what he says. That's it. Have you seen it?
I love Louis Theroux.
That's basically familiar. Louis Theroux through and through. He just goes, and what do you think that's okay?
I've loved it. Masood's Louis Theroux. This is more exciting than when we found out Masood could do Welsh.
That was incredible.
Do you remember that? And Masood's like, I'm just going to attempt a Welsh accent. And I was like, oh, this will be fucking good. And then Masood proceeded to do a perfect Welsh accent.
If you want to hear Masood do a Welsh accent and you haven't checked it out yet, go to our YouTube channel and watch our horribly filmed on the phone at the back of the room. We did a live show at the Bill Murray. He does it in that. It's on our YouTube channel.
It's very exciting.
Oh, yes. So we've got these. And the other two unfortunate tragic deaths of the other two Columbo people, none of those are related, obviously, to this case in any way. And they happened at different times.
One of them, yeah, so Jack Cassidy died in a fire that was his own doing. He fell asleep smoking a cigarette.
That would happen a lot.
And then there was another one who's off the top of my head, I can't remember the name now. I think it was Sal.
It was a younger guy, yeah.
Yeah, 37 or 38. He was murdered.
Oh, was he? Oh yeah, God. It was Sal Mineo, I believe. That's his name. Yes. So this is interesting because this is one of the cases where we have pretty much nothing.
Yeah, it
very rarely happens on the show. Where
yeah,
we have
it does sound like there's nothing to go on.
I've had a lovely day, Jim.
Here's your bus fare home. Don't worry about it. What, every time you win on Bullseye, Jim pulls it out of his fucking pocket. It's not even out of the production money. It's his own money.
Very strange.
But yes, we've had a good time. We've got our bully tankards and our dart set, and we're good.
I really wanted the camping equipment.
Did you see the
range of fashions? There was one clip that was going around, and these the two blokes, fashions. These proper northern dart-playing blokes, won this.
Oh,
like,
won like women's range,
a range
of fashions,
and they were just pissing themselves. Like, oh dear.
I am obsessed with that show. That's one of my obsessions, is Bullseye.
Yeah.
This is a retro episode.
My grandparents had a massive dusty bin in their spare room.
Oh, what? Yeah,
really?
From 3, 2, 1.
Oh no, I can't. I'm just pretending. Just do it quick enough. You can fool people.
I used to have to sleep in that room when I stayed there. And sometimes I couldn't, and I'd wake up and So the moonlight coming through the window would just illuminate dusty bins staring at me.
Wow.
I'd never be able to get to sleep.
What's the weirdest thing you were afraid of as a kid?
I think this is a fairly legit one. Is the liquid Terminator from Terminator 2?
Oh yeah.
That was legit afraid
That's
of.
That's scary
that.
If you're a kid.
That is pretty.
Your
spooky.
Foster parents are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all,
it's just a guy who he can just turn his hand into a knife. That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I think that's all right to be scared of as a kid. What about you, Susie?
We went to Longley when I was a kid, and there was a Doctor Who thing going on. Mm-hmm. And my mum paid for us to get into this Doctor Who special thing. And this Dalek came towards me, going exterminate. I ran out crying, screamed for ages.
Yeah,
and to
spooky.
This day, she's still angry.
Oh my God.
She's still angry with me because they didn't get their money back. And there was also a Darth Vader person in Debenhams, and I hid behind my mum's skirts and shit myself. Also, I was a bit creeped out by Bagpuss.
Bagpuss! See, that's a weird one to be scared of. Bagpuss was so wholesome.
But I did love Rent-A-Ghost.
Rent-A-Ghost.
I couldn't even watch the opening credits of Simon and the Witch.
Simon and the Witch, yeah.
Simon and the Witch.
It was terrible. It was about a boy, a schoolboy, who made friends with an old woman who probably in real life was like 42 or something.
Elizabeth Spriggs.
And she was a real life witch. Is that who it was? She was a real Elizabeth witch. Briggs. And she was cheeky and eccentric, but she wasn't evil. I couldn't watch the opening credits. I was so terrified of Simon and the Witch.
Wow.
And once I had to go, my grandma on my dad's side, so she was weird because she was my dad's mum. So very occasionally we'd have to go around grandma's after school. So grandma picked us up from school, and then we'd have to go around there, and she put the telly on, but you couldn't leave the room. She didn't like it if you left the lounge while she was in the kitchen. Fuck knows what she was doing in there. So Simon the Witch came on, and I just had to stand in the corner of the room facing the corner with my fingers in my ears, like the end of Blair Witch Project.
So just like a terrified wow, that's okay. That's pretty traumatizing.
What about you, Chris?
I've got two. The first one is Michael Jackson.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. That's legit.
That's legit.
Absolutely terrified me. I was about... at the time, he was still black. So I was...
okay. Oh, so this is a race thing. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
No, I use that as a reference for when this happened. Not as, that wasn't a qualifying statement as to why I was frightened, Masood.
That's really funny.
I was about 3 years old, and a concert was playing at my great uncle's house, my dad's uncle. I was there for some reason, I don't remember why. And on the TV, a Michael Jackson concert was playing, and it frightened the life out of me.
Yeah.
And the second one, on the street that I lived when I was a kid, there was a tree that was a really weird shape. It really spooked me.
Oh.
Okay.
So a tree.
It was a tree. I was frightened by a tree when I was a kid, yeah.
Can I just say, we were talking about witches earlier, and I know yes. Sue's... Obviously, she's got to be into Wicked at some point in her life.
And one day.
Obviously, channeling Suze Kempner, one day when I worked at Madame Tussauds, we all dressed up for Halloween. And I put loads of effort into my elphaba, right? I had a long wig, yeah. I had the hat and everything. I looked really glam. I did myself all green and I thought I looked really like proper glam, lovely witch. And I worked all day. And then they did a competition of the best costumes. And the next day on the notice board was the top three for the prizes. And I was quite hopeful because I had previously won dressing as Beyonce from the Single Ladies video. The picture is available on my Facebook
she
profile.
She didn't put any dark makeup on, if you want.
I thought I did quite well, and then I didn't come first, but I came second, and it said Susie Bennett as Grot Bags. I am.
Susie, when this episode will come out on Thursday, and we'll definitely put that on the Twitter.
Yeah, that's
so funny.
Grot Bags. That's very upsetting.
This whole episode's been like 5 minutes of mystery and then just like 55 minutes of Peter Kay.
I did choose a mystery purely because of what she'd been in.
I appreciate the subject matter, but unfortunately there's not really many leads on that, which is a big shame.
Yeah, but you know, it's that's
should but we then just we've already asked the question, what would Columbo do? You know, what would he pick up on? What would he pick up on? Maybe he'd go and look at the murder of Gloria Witt and think, maybe that's the intended victim all along. Or maybe the intended victim was her high-flying banker husband.
Who they didn't kill.
And he survived, and then all of the others were just misdirection. Maybe that's the thing.
I mean, why did they all scarper without nicking nothing?
Yeah, they didn't rob them. They just killed them. So there is one theory that I read that was maybe it was a gang initiation. They just had to pick a random person to kill to be initiated into the gang.
Did Barbara have children?
She did not have children, I don't think. She was married to Ethel Merman's son, separated from him, and she had a mother, father, and I think a couple of sisters, but there was no kids.
Anyway, we're never going to get to the bottom of who killed Barbara Coleman.
Would you like to hear a song
about it?
Yes. Yeah, we'll do everyone's theories after.
Okay.
My son's ex-wife killed, well, I'll be. We need to figure out who murdered Barbara Colby. The police have no leads, those bunch of dumbos. If only we could get a real-life Columbo. All we know is the killers jumped out of a van. P.S. My name is Ethel Merman. Was the crime a gang initiation or interrupted robbery? We must avenge the death of Barbara Colby. Two others died in the Columbo purge. Did they have gangland connections? Oh, who am I to judge? Judge. Just one more thing. This case remains cold, nearly 50 years on. So we may as well get pissed and have a drinking game gone
guys, it wasn't recorded separately, and we're not just clapping for no reason. Thank you.
So I think I think the gang initiation thing is possible. I had a theory that it was maybe a rival TV detective show that was possibly like, you know,
Quincy. Like
Quincy. Yeah. Just name a show from that era and it would have been those guys. It sounds like the gang initiation thing sounds like a pretty solid theory. It sounds like a pretty good, because that's the only way you can explain a spread crime like that. I don't even think it was the same six guys. I think it was like there was like 20 guys, and those are the six that got caught. You know.
Well, there's just one more thing.
Oh, that's so pretty.
It's uncanny.
It's a shame you can't see this. My brother drew it, bless him. I just think it was random, which is really annoying. It's very uninventive of me, but
Sometimes what happens,
or a robbery that got interrupted.
It
does say, you know, Susie, it does say in the newspaper article that people's attention was drawn by screaming. James Kernan screamed as he got shot. So, yeah, maybe...
Well, absolutely. And he lived as well, so it wasn't like he was dead.
For a bit.
How long did he live? He lived long enough to give the police.
Yeah, so I believe they were shot at anywhere between 11:30 and 10 to midnight, and he died...
Right.
He died at 1:10 the following morning.
Oh, bloody hell, so it was very quick. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone actually said to me recently at a gig, because I said something about Columbo, and this bloke said to me, oh, you're a massive fan then. And I was like, yeah. And he went, oh, when did Peter Falk die? And I went, oh, hang on, let me just check the dates on my tattoo. And I was like, I'm actually joking, by the way. I haven't gone that far, guys.
I had a bit in my... It wasn't the show that you saw, Susie, because it was the year before. But I had a bit in my show about how Columbo's a weird thing to be a fan of, and I find it hard to make friends with people. So that when I met somebody that had a favourite episode of Columbo, you would think that we should be the best of friends.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he chose a shit one. So I was like, nah, get out, fuck off. Rest in peace, Mrs. Columbo.
Oh,
no.
God, no, that's the worst. That's terrible.
I love it, both of you are like, Well, I guess that's it. Let's thanks so much for
Yeah, thank you, Susie.
I'm
thanks
sorry that we didn't avenge Barbara, but I've had a lot of fun. You've been great company.
I like that. That's what you think the show is that we avenge the deaths of people?
Oh, yeah. I have nothing to plug, guys, because I'm
What are you on Twitter?
At Funny Susie B, S-U-Z-Y-B. And my current name on there is Susie Letitia Dean Bennett, because obviously I'm cashing in on the Sharon Watts starring role in EastEnders Lockdown, which is the current hit of YouTube.
We've got actual EastEnders actor was in it this
week. Oh, yeah, Michelle. Oh. Michelle!
Who also
Michelle.
Sang Red Dwarf.
Yeah, Jenna Russell, who sang the Red Dwarf theme tune.
Oh, really?
Was actual Michelle Fowler in EastEnders, and obviously very impressive for me. Played Dot and was nominated for a Tony for playing Dot in Sunday in the Park with George.
Amazing.
On Broadway.
And she was shot by a Dalek in Doctor Who.
Yes! Oh my god!
I feel like we've been playing British TV trivia
all
evening.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Masood. The dice was loaded.
Masood's like that gift.
I've enjoyed it. It's like a history lesson for me. This is a lot of fun. I've been taking it all in.
Let's go on another Skype call without Masood and start talking about are you being served, yeah?
I have seen that, actually.
Leave him out.
I have seen that show. So.
Heidi Hi.
Big in Hong Kong.
That was really funny that was the one you picked, though. That was really good.
It ain't all hot, Mum.
Well, that's it. We're obviously, you can find us on Mystery on the Rocks. At gmail.com if you want to send us an email and be like, hey guys, I want to hear more about Masood's bullseye obsession. You can find us on at Mystery on the Rocks. That's ROX on both Twitter and Instagram. We also have a YouTube episode of our, as Chris mentioned, episode of our recorded live show and our first lockdown video show. So if you want to watch
that. Yeah, we need to do another one of those, don't we?
Oh, well, we will
do
another
one of those. Because we had questions that we keep forgetting to answer.
Yes. Mm.
So yeah, we should do one of those.
So absolutely, do check those out. And we're also doing, we may do a live stream at some point in the future. We might put a Twitter poll on Twitter about that. I don't know. You can also find us all individually on our own Twitter things, which are probably go out with the episode.
I'm live streaming.
Yes, Suze is live streaming. When and where are you live streaming?
Every Tuesday evening on Facebook, I'm live streaming. Go on Twitter and I'll link you to my Facebook Live.
Cool.
I'm just live streaming AMA and song requests.
Nice. Chris, you doing any of this future Gizmo stuff?
I I've done a few online gigs where you have to pre-record a set, and I'm not doing any more of those. I mean, Jesus Christ! I did one of them, but I had to pre-record a set sitting on my sofa, and it's only that you realise that it's meant for an audience when you're sitting in your spare room, saying it to a camera to nothing. I got to the material about my divorce, and then I had to back out of it like a dumper truck with flat tyres because it was just so depressing.
That's very funny.
I love it.
I've been doing these stand up for labour things. They've been doing stay at home labour. They do it on a Wednesday and a Saturday. And it's free to sign up to. They just ask for donations if you want. But it's like they get a few MPs on. They got me, Pat Monaghan, Don Biswas, and we do every week. They just see what we're up to, and we just talk a load of shit. And then one time,
that
just after Jeremy Corbyn was leaving as leader, he came on.
Yeah.
But he popped up, and I'm doing my bit to the people, and I'm looking into the camera. And I see, you know, when someone makes a noise on Zoom, it comes up on the screen.
Yeah.
And he was fiddling with his camera, so Jeremy Corbyn pops up fiddling with his camera, and it was just at the point that I was talking about either I like large bearded men, and then Jeremy Corbyn pops up, and I'm like, oh, and he completely threw me a bit, and it was, and it kind of stole, and then the chat started going. Was that Jeremy Corbyn? Was that? And I'm like, oh, come on, mate, it's my turn. Do you know what I mean?
More like, was that Susie Bennett? Come on, mate, we all.
But yeah, I did say that after lockdown, everyone's going to be a large bearded man, so even the women, because no one's like, you know, so I'll be cleaning up in September. I'll be
absolutely
back on the market. I will be.
Susie's going to be in Giacomo heaven.
Yeah. I've had to buy a weighted blanket just to feel something heavy on top of me at night, and it's not. I need about 10 of them. I need about 10 of them stacked up to be actual rag and bone man, so it's just not going to, you know, it's not quite cutting it at the moment.
Thank you, Susie.
Well, thanks so much for coming.
This has been really fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie. Thank you so much.
You're all lovely.
Cool.
Take care, everybody.
You
goodbye,
too.
Guys.
This too bye, shall pass. Susie. We'll go outside again. Yeah. It'll happen.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.